Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on Blue Zone Wellness on this cool Sunday afternoon. From broadcasting from right outside of Orlando, Florida. I probably sound a little bit different from you today. I'm having to broadcast from a different microphone due to some system problems. So I'm probably sounding like I'm on an AM radio today, but nevertheless, we're going to go ahead and go through. Again, you know, if you listened before, I'm a traditionally trained naturopathic doctor with a practice and ministry located in Orlando, Florida, and I approach natural medicine from a Christian perspective. Now, many, many people in our times are very interested in natural and alternative therapies, and I hope to be able to educate you in that direction. So be sure to join me every Sunday afternoon right here on Blue Zone Wellness from 4 to 5 p.m. as we discuss some great insights into natural and alternative medicine. And as normal, we're going to follow our same outline where in the first segment we talk about the week in natural news, some of the things that have come out in the natural news world. And then in the second segment, we'll talk about healing foods. And in the third segment, we will talk about herbal supplements. That's the time that we talk about herbal or natural supplements. So be sure right here to join me. In just a minute, when we come back, we're going to go ahead and get started in just a second.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Again, thank you for listening here. If you're listening on bluezonewellness.org, or you may be listening on phase3ministries.com, or you also may be listening on blogtalkradio.com. I'd like to remind you that, again, every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5, I'd like to give a special welcome to all of my friends over in Costa Rica and wherever in the world or here in the U.S. that you may be listening. We're going to, again, before we get started, I want to remind you that if you want to keep up with me on Facebook, you can do so at facebook.com/naturedoc. That's facebook.com/naturedoc. You can also follow me on Twitter at Blue Zone Wellness on there on Twitter. And you can also check us out on bluezonewellness.org or on phase3ministries.com. That's PHASE, the number 3, ministries.com/WordPress. Now, again, as I said before we went to break, we have a very interesting show for you today. We're going to be talking about a number of things. We have a lot to cover, and we're going to be talking about sleep and how important that is. You hear me talk about the laws of health on here, being trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control. And this is very, very important for us to understand when these laws of health. They're so important, in fact, we're going to talk about one today, which is rest, or under which sleep falls. We're going to look at how getting enough sleep, exactly, a new study shows, can be more potent than the painkiller codeine. We're also going to talk about how not getting enough sleep in women as well as in men can result in very, very difficult to treat hypertension. Then we're gonna go on from that, and we're gonna talk about how aspirin long term effects of aspirin. You hear a lot about aspirin being good for your heart when taken daily. What they don't tell you are some of the long-term and disastrous side effects, including blindness and some other issues that result from taking aspirin. I also tell you the herbal alternative, that you don't have to worry about such drastic side effects. Then we'll talk about the top 5 best exercises that you can do to lose belly fat. That you will want to hear. A lot of people struggle with belly fat of sorts, both men and women. We're going to talk about that. And then when we pivot over to the Helix foods, we're going to talk about 5 of the best raw foods to add to your diet to help alkalize the system and to also get numerous nutrients into your body to help your body stay in a healthful state and to fight off disease and abnormalities. And then finally, we will, in our final segment, the healing supplement, healing herbs segment, we're going to continue to talk about nutrients, and today we'll continue our discussion on vitamin E, which is actually one of the most important antioxidant vitamins that you can take. It's extremely important and it's extremely powerful, and if you have a deficiency in it, especially a long-term deficiency, can cause serious problems. Again, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. You can call in if you'd like to do so with a question at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. We're going to get started with our first article in the Week in Natural News segment. Again, this article is entitled Getting Enough Sleep, a More Potent Painkiller Than Codeine. And in this particular article, it's taken from naturalnews.com. Again, it's taken from naturalnews.com. And the article starts off by pointing out how getting a couple of more hours of sleep each night is actually more effective than codeine at reducing the body's sensitivity to pain, according to a study published in the journal Sleep. Now, we've been talking about that for a while, how sleep is one of the laws of health, that if you want good health, you'll need to follow. And so this study just basically confirms that. What we believe here at Blue Zone Wellness and Phase 3 Ministries, that by following those laws of health, including sleep, which is free to cheap, by following on a consistent basis, you can actually have better benefits many, many times than taking any type of narcotic medication. The article goes on to say that the study was the first to examine the pain-related effects of getting extra sleep, although other studies have shown that sleep deprivation can actually lead to decreased pain tolerance. He quotes the article, The author in the article quotes Adrian Williams of King's College London, who was involved in the study. He says, quote, work at Harvard has explored the effect of sleep deprivation on pain perception and found that the threshold for pain perception is reduced under those circumstances. The study was conducted, according to this article, on 18 pain-free adults who were classified as sleepy using the Multiple Sleep Latency Test, or the MSLT. The participants were assigned either to maintain their normal sleep habits for 4 nights or to spend 10 hours in bed every night during the same time period. The researchers found that on average, participants in the extended sleep group got 1.8 more hours of sleep per night than participants in the habitual sleep group. So they also scored higher on tests of daytime alertness outside of the pain. Moreover, the article goes on to point out that at both the beginning and end of the study, the participants were instructed to place a finger on a radiant heat source in order to test pain sensitivity. The participants in the extended sleep group experienced a 25% increase in the amount of time that they were able to keep their finger on the hot surface. This indicated an ever greater reduction in pain sensitivity than the researchers observed in a prior study when they used 60 milligrams of the narcotic painkiller codeine. So basically, the people in the study who had gotten an extra 1.8 hours of sleep were able to endure pain by 25% more than those that didn't. And not only that, the researchers also found that this even indicated a greater reduction in pain sensitivity than the researchers observed in a prior study in where they used 60 milligrams of codeine. So getting this extra 1.8 hours of sleep was more effective in pain tolerance and in pain reduction, if you will, than taking 60 milligrams of codeine. The article went on to point out further that it is the first time that scientists have demonstrated that extra sleep can reduce the pain sensitivity of people suffering from mild but chronic sleep deprivation. The author also quoting again the lead researcher in the study, Timothy Rohr, said, "Our results suggest," and I'm quoting, "the importance of adequate sleep in various chronic pain conditions or in preparation for elective surgical procedures. We were surprised by the magnitude of the reduction in pain sensitivity when compared to the reduction produced by taking codeine." And so the article goes on to say further that although some sleep disorders such as narcolepsy arise from physiological problems, who was the lead author of the study, said the majority of sleep deprivation cases can simply be explained by people not spending enough time sleeping in bed. Fortunately, such people have a very easy fix, he pointed out, for their sleep deprivation and all the problems it causes. They can just get more sleep. He said that even a few days of getting more sleep can lead to dramatic benefits. And again, quoting the lead author of the study, the article says, quote, "The results of the current study indicate that a relatively short bedtime extension, 4 nights, is sufficient to provide benefit for alertness as well as pain sensitivity for individuals with this level of excessive sleepiness." Now, again, when we talk about the laws of health and we talk about rest, and as we said, sleep is a subcategory of rest. And when we take into account these types of studies, when you hear me say that we believe in a scientific application of trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control, this is based not only on experience but also on science. We know that these things work. We know that they work when they've done consistently, not only to help heal the body but also help to prevent disease from setting in the first place. Now, this article went on to say further that sleep deprivation can cause a number of health problems, and it appears to be on the rise. Although the average U.S. resident got approximately 8 hours of sleep per night in the 1960s, the average had fallen by 2005 to just 7 hours a night. And some experts estimate that as much as 25% of the population is now sleep deprived, according to this article. So, yes, it is best to get about 8 hours of sleep per night, 8 hours for most people. And the body likes this. The tests and the studies tend to show that the majority of people will function better and be healthier functioning on 8 hours of sleep per night. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are broadcasting live here from Blue Zone Wellness, and we're going to move right on into our next article at this time. And this article, again, is taken from Marcola.com. We're going to discuss and analyze this article, and it's entitled "How Poor Sleep Actually Increases the Risk of Hard to Treat Hypertension or High Blood Pressure." Dr. Marcola starts out by saying, when you mess with your body's intrinsic need for regular, high-quality sleep, it sets off a cascade of biological changes that can seriously impact your health. The trouble is, of course, that many people don't intentionally neglect proper sleep, he says. Instead, they simply can't fall asleep or stay asleep once they do, and this, unfortunately, increases your risk of developing serious chronic diseases. And this is so true. This is one of the reasons where when we talk about the laws of health, something as simple as sleep. Many people, when they have serious diseases, and you say, well, how much sleep are you getting? Well, you know, and they don't really understand or can see how important something that seems to be so simple is to their health. But sleep deprivation can actually be the foundation of increasing your risk of developing serious chronic diseases, and such as hypertension. And as Dr. Marcola goes on to present and talk about in this particular article here, he says, in a study presented at the American Heart Association High Blood Pressure Research 2012 Scientific Sessions, researchers found a strong link between sleep quality and a type of high blood pressure known as resistant hypertension, which actually does not respond to typical drug-based treatments. So basically, they presented studies at the American Heart Association High Blood Pressure Research Symposium, if you will, scientific sessions last year, and in these studies they discovered that there is a particular type, those people who are sleep deprived actually have a tendency to develop a type of high blood pressure or hypertension known as resistant hypertension, which does not respond to typical drug-based treatments. And this has been, those of us in the natural field, we've always, many of us have taken the position anyway that the drugs don't really, they don't heal, they don't cure. That's really not their design to cure. And so you may have this type of hypertension, and the reason that the normal types of typical drug-based treatments that would normally work is not working because there are a lot of other underlying things that are going on. And when you find the cause, in this particular case, the cause is sleep deprivation. And if the cause is sleep deprivation, hypertension drugs are not going to do anything to help it. Dr. Marcola goes on to point out, he says, in fact, women who had resistant hypertension were five times as likely to also have poor sleep quality, while the average length of sleep in this study was only 6.4 hours a night and nearly half slept fewer than 6 hours each night. It was the quality of the sleep as opposed to the quantity that appeared to influence the hypertension risk. And while this study only found an association with women, other studies have also linked hypertension in men to a lack of deep sleep. And sleeping fewer than 7 hours a night has been linked to hypertension in both men and women. So the studies show that if you sleep less than 7 hours a night, you have a higher risk of developing hypertension. And also the quality of your sleep is more important than the quantity, according to these studies. Dr. Marcola went on to point out further. He says, if you sleep less than 6 hours a night, defined as partial sleep deprivation, you may not only be increasing your risk of high blood pressure, but also obesity as a well-known high blood pressure risk factor. And then he cites research that he points out. He says that this new research found that partial sleep deprivation is associated with obesity and alters your food intake by disrupting key hormones involved with regulating metabolism and appetite. So here we see, as natural practitioners, we believe, again, in treating or addressing the whole body. We don't believe that the body should be addressed in separate parts, where if your head is hurting, the problem necessarily originated in your head and it's only in your head. Or if your knee is hurting, that it originated there and it's only there. It might have originated there and it may not have originated there. It just depends. And so here we see in this particular article, Dr. Marcola pointing out how new research has discovered that partial sleep deprivation is associated with obesity. Now, who would have thought that not getting enough sleep over time can be associated with obesity because it alters your food intake by disrupting key hormones involved with regulating your metabolism and your appetite. So here you have not getting enough sleep, disrupting your hormones, and now it disrupts the digestive process. Your food is not broken down properly over time, and you begin to become obese. He cites a study. He quotes researchers, Dr. Mercola does in his article, and he says, quote, reduced sleep may disrupt appetite hormone regulation, specifically increasing ghrelin, which is a hormone that triggers hunger, and decreasing leptin, the hormone that tells your brain you're full, and thereby influence energy intake. Increased wakefulness also may promote food intake episodes and energy imbalance, he says, the researchers said in their particular study. Now, Dr. Mercola also points out that reduced insulin sensitivity in this article was also among the sleep-deprived subjects, and this not only increases your risk of diabetes but also high blood pressure. So, again, not getting enough sleep, not getting enough quality sleep, not getting enough sleep overall, is it affiliated with obesity and disrupting hormones, which causes the digestive process to be thrown off, but is also connected, associated with high blood pressure, and also with diabetes. Because those who, in the studies, the sleep-deprived subjects, had insulin sensitivity. So here you have, we've identified three issues now with not getting enough sleep, namely hypertension, potential obesity, and diabetes. Dr. Mercola goes on to point out in this article further, he says, lack of sleep interferes, and I'm quoting him, with metabolism and hormone production in a way that is similar to the effects of aging and the early stages of diabetes. It's long been known, in fact, that sleep deprivation, he says, increases your diabetes risk, so it's not at all surprising that it also increases your risk for high blood pressure because the two are caused by essentially the same factors. High blood pressure, like diabetes, is typically, he says, related to your body developing resistance to insulin. As your insulin level rises, your blood pressure rises, and most physicians, even cardiologists, he says, do not understand the crucial connection between blood pressure, blood sugar levels, and insulin. This is true. And so here we have a situation to where you may have, and you see this often, many times a person who has hypertension will also be diabetic, or a person who is diabetic will also have hypertension. Because, as he says, essentially the same factors that causes one causes the other. And this is something that's not often identified by doctors and, as he says, even cardiologists, because they're trained only in general to look at. If you're a cardiologist, the cardiologist in general, not always, his specialty is the heart. And so he's going to study and be an expert in that area, as opposed to being an expert in the totality of the entire body in terms of treating it. In terms of nutrition, in terms of the sunshine and the vitamins and the nutrients and the sleep and the rest and all these other things. Of course, the doctor will be schooled in it, but in terms of having expert knowledge in those areas, unless he's also gone back to school and studied natural medicine or taken some courses or whatnot, he would generally not put the amount of emphasis that's necessary to be effective in that area. He would tend to fall back more on what his training is in that area. Again, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're talking about, at this point, we're talking about how not getting enough sleep and how not getting the right quality and amount of sleep can actually lead to you developing hard-to-treat hypertension, obesity, as well as diabetes. Now, continuing in this article, Dr. Mercola says further that more than 85% of those who have hypertension can normalize their blood pressure with some basic lifestyle modifications, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. The majority of cases of hypertension, and even diabetes, can be dealt with rather easily by lifestyle modifications, in some cases major, but in most cases they can work for healing. Now, he points out to normalize your insulin levels by avoiding sugar, fructose, and grains. He says if your blood pressure is elevated and you consume a lot of sugar, especially in the form of fructose, such as high fructose corn syrup, which would be in most of your juices that you buy in the stores, and in many foods, almost all of your foods will have as a sweetener high fructose corn syrup, which the body has great problems dealing with. He points out how lowering your blood pressure might be as simple as cutting all forms of sugar and grains out of your diet. He says normalizing your blood glucose levels would normalize your insulin and bring blood pressure down to a healthy range. And he says, I'm quoting Dr. Mercola, he says, I strongly advise keeping your total fructose consumption below 25 grams per day. As he points out, unlike glucose, which is burned by fuel in every cell in your body, fructose is not immediately consumed as fuel. It is metabolized into fat by your liver, which can set the ball rolling toward insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. And then he points out further, the article goes on further to say physical activity is by far one of the most potent, quote, drugs there is, especially for increasing insulin. And it's true. Physical activity, exercise, is your friend. If you refuse to exercise, you are going to eventually develop problems. And it's especially good to exercise outside in the fresh air and the sunshine. You're getting if you exercise outside in fresh air and the sunshine, you're actually getting three of those laws of health that we're talking about. You're getting the exercise, you're getting the sunshine, and you're getting the fresh air. And of course, the sunshine is the best source of vitamin D. When you're getting that direct exposure. And so, again, just remember, we're talking about the importance of sleep and both the quantity and the quality of sleep are very important, but the quality seems to be more important than the quantity, rather. Again, you're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to pivot now over into our next article. It's an article taken from naturalnews.com, and it's talking about the adverse effects of taking aspirin long-term. Now, as you've seen the commercials maybe where they talk about, especially if you're a little older, where they're talking about taking aspirin daily to help prevent heart attack, but they tell you the benefit, the potential benefit, but they leave out the risk. And so as this article points out, and I've talked about this on Blue Zone Wellness before, about the side effects on the gastrointestinal tract of taking aspirin, but there's some other side effects as well. And this is an article taken from naturalnews.com, and the author points out, he says, although temporary aspirin reactions can occur to diabetics, those with ulcers and others who are allergic to aspirin, long-term frequent use can negatively affect anyone. And he says, perhaps the most recent long-term adverse effects study recorded in the Journal of the American Medical Association and reported in the New York Times in late 2012 found findings that dovetail with the study conducted in Amsterdam, he says. The Netherlands, a year earlier, called the association between aspirin use and aging macular disorder. And he goes on to say that both studies concluded that regular use of aspirin doubles the risk of age-related macular degeneration. In other words, blindness, essentially blindness, and which is the leading cause of blindness among senior citizens. And he points out that, but this is only the tip of the iceberg, and that it is mostly not visible to the public because it's ignored, of course, by the drug companies, he points out. He says further that isolated and mostly ignored medical studies have linked regular aspirin use to liver failure and to kidney disease, and a kidney disease known as analgesic neuropathy, which leads to dialysis or death. So basically here, we hear about the gastrointestinal bleeding that's caused by aspirin, but he's pointing out to other studies that are ignored or swept under the rug that shows that this continual use of aspirin can also lead to liver failure, and kidney disease, which can actually cause you to end up being on dialysis. In addition, he said, in addition to the eye issues, some experience tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears, and possibly hearing problems that resolve soon after not taking the aspirin anymore. And so frequent aspirin use is the second most common cause of bleeding and perforated ulcers or GI gastrointestinal wall damage. That's the gastrointestinal bleeding that I was speaking about earlier. He points out in this article how aspirin is the second leading cause in this area. The irony is, he says, that although, let me back up here. He points out in the article how frequent aspirin use is the second most common use of bleeding and perforated ulcers or GI wall damage, gastrointestinal tract damage. He says, but this is known among doctors who may still prescribe low dose of daily aspirin as a heart attack deterrent. And the irony is, he says, that although daily dose aspirin, does reduce heart attacks somewhat, the risk of hemorrhagic stroke is almost double. So here's the change off. Here's the exchange. Take the aspirin to reduce the likelihood of a heart attack because it's a blood thinner, but you open yourself up to double the risk of gastrointestinal tract bleeding. You increase the risk that your liver will fail. You increase the risk that your kidney, that you will develop kidney disease known as analgesic neuropathy. And so it's a 3-for-1. And you know you can do this. You can get the same benefits by taking magnesium on a daily basis because it protects the heart. It's really the buffered aspirin that tends to have the benefit. Anyway, he goes on to say further that the irony is that although daily-dose aspirin does reduce heart attacks somewhat, the risk of stroke is almost doubled. The constant blood thinning without moderation can actually cause brain hemorrhaging. And also, when heart attacks do occur among low-dose aspirin consumers, they are fatal more often than heart attacks occurring to those who don't use the aspirin. So in the event that you are taking the aspirin and you do still happen to have a heart attack, the likelihood that it would be fatal, or have a greater likelihood rather of being fatal than if you weren't taking it. And basically, the author says that perhaps the most dramatic adverse effect occurs when young children suffering with fevers from viral infections are given aspirin. This can result in Reye syndrome, where the child's vital organs fail, suddenly killing the child. Aspirin or any other drug, he said, should not be used to kill a fever, which is true. You need to understand this, is that whenever the body has a fever, it's trying to kill off some foreign invader. And as long as that fever can be modulated, as long as it can be kept in control, it is actually the friend and not a foe. In fact, sometimes in natural medicine, you want to induce an artificial fever through steam baths, through hydrotherapy, to help the body, to help stimulate the immune system, multiply the production of white blood cells. And so the fever is not a foe. Unless it gets too high and you need to bring it down. But generally, if it's not getting too high and if you can modulate that fever, it's actually a friend. And the author also said the same thing. He said that fever that is not dangerously stratospheric indicates that the immune system is working well, and fevers kill viruses with the body's increased heat. He goes on to say that it's also been determined by various medical scientists, that aspirin damages the body's natural healing compounds, such as vitamin C, folic acid, sodium, potassium, and iron. So here it is. That's a serious trade-off. And you know, when you're looking at these things and you're thinking about taking even over-the-counter medications, you really need to do your research and realize, count the costs. Do a benefit cost analysis, a benefit risk analysis to find out will the benefit outweigh the risk. Finally, the article points out, points out how white willow bark is the herb that bear borrowed from to synthesize a chemical cousin. And this is true. The original natural aspirin skull, we call it white willow bark. And basically, bear just basically copied the molecular structure of adipocetic acid and so that it could be patented. This is back in the late 1800s. And you can take willow bark, which relieves pain without the side effects that you get from aspirin. And especially you can take substances like curcumin from turmeric that not only relieves inflammation, which by relieving inflammation, it can also relieve the underlying pain. So imagine if you were to combine white willow bark with curcumin or turmeric. And so you're working on both your inflammation and you're also working on the actual pain that you're feeling. So you get a 1-2 punch. So while the turmeric or the curcumin is working on the inflammation, which is going to ultimately bring down the pain, you're getting the pain, just the immediate pain relief from taking the white willow bark as you would get if you were taking aspirin. Again, you listen to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to take a brief break, and we're going to come back after this break, and we're going to be talking about the top 5 best exercises to lose belly fat. And then we're going to pivot over into our foods, our natural foods, our healing foods segment. We're going to talk about 5 of the best raw foods to add to your diet to also help your weight. Again, that goes in line with the five top best exercises to lose that belly fat that you may be carrying around. And then we'll also deal with our final segment. After we deal with those two, we'll deal with the final segment on how to recognize the benefits of vitamin E in your body, how to recognize when you're deficient, the benefits of it, what it does, and the symptoms of deficiency and cautions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be right back after these brief messages. You're listening again to Blue Zone Wellness.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on this, at least down here in the Orlando area. It's pretty cool this afternoon. But wherever you may be listening, thank you for joining me. We are going to continue our discussion, and this segment we're going to be talking about, we're going to finish up our Week in Natural News Review, and we're going to pivot right over into our healing food section. And this particular segment here, we're going to start off with an article that says the top 5 best exercises to lose belly fat. Now, I know that wanting to use belly fat is a very, very, very big desire for many people, both men and women. And we're going to talk about some of the exercises that you can use, some top 5 best exercises that you can use to lose belly fat. But I just want to remind you that you have to also combine correct eating habits and sleeping habits and overall lifestyle for these exercises to work in their optimal fashion. So let's start off by looking at the first one. Now, these exercises were looked at and decided upon by researchers at the biomechanics lab at San Diego State University. They took a look at some popular abdominal exercises and they ranked them, and from 1 to 5. And the results of the study revealed that exercises that require constant abdominal stabilization and body rotation resulted in the most muscle activity in the abdomen area. And the first one, number one, was the bicycle exercise. I mean, you may be familiar with that. This is where this is best for targeting the six-pack muscles and the obliques. You know, everyone wants to talk about the six-pack. So if you want to target the six-pack and the obliques, the top rank is the bicycle exercise. And in this exercise, you get into a supine position. You lie down on your back. You put your hands behind your head or the back of your head, and you bring your knees to your chest while lifting your shoulders off the floor, and then slowly bring your right elbow towards your left knee as you straighten your right leg, and you switch sides and continue in a pedaling motion. And you can do this in 1 to 3 sets with 12 to 16 repetitions. So again, you lie down on your back, put your hands behind your head, lift your shoulders off the floor, and it's almost like riding a bike, but you're bringing up your right elbow to your left knee, and then your left elbow to your right knee, and it's almost like riding a bike. You keep your legs moving like you're riding a bike. And you do this from 1 to 3 sets, from 12 to 16 repetitions each time. That's the one that they rank number one for helping to burn belly fat, of course, in combination with a good diet. The rank number two is what's called the captain's chair leg raise. This exercise requires a captain's chair, you find these typically at a gym, a workout club. It's a rack with the padded arms allowing for the legs to hang free, and it's commonly found, again, like I said, in gyms and health clubs. And to do this exercise, you stand on the chair and grip your hand, the hand holds. You press your back up against the pad, and you'll know if you've been to the gym or workout club, you'll notice they have little foot pedals where you can stand on. There's a pad in the back, and there's pads where you put your arms, and you get on this machine here. And basically what you do is you press your back up against the pad, and then you raise your knees to the chest, to contract the abs, then lower them back down. So it's simply just climb up on it, and it's a very simple machine. And I've never been to a gym that does not have them. All gyms have them. You get on basically the captain's chair leg raise, put your back up against the pad, put your arms on the pads, and simply lift your knees upward. And you're working those abs. You lift your knees upward towards your chest. And you do 1 to 3 sets with 12 to 16 repetition. Next is the exercise ball crunch. Now, you can either purchase an exercise ball, you can go to the gym and use them, but this was listed as the third most effective to help burn body fat. For this exercise, it's an exercise, of course, the ball is necessary, and in this routine, the abdomen does more exerting, but we still need the entire body to stabilize it throughout the entire routine. And to do this exercise, you lie on the ball with your lower back fully supported, place your hands behind your head, and lift the torso off the ball. What you have to do is you have to contract the abs to pull the bottom of the rib cage toward the hips. All stable as you curl up, and then lower your back down to stretch the abs. Again, so basically what you're going to do, you're going to lie down on the ball. I see people doing this quickly. And if you don't know how to do it, if there's a personal trainer there, just ask them how do you use it. Or you may be able to go on YouTube even and get a clearer indication of what I'm telling you to do here. And I may even go on and find some videos and put them on my blog, and so you can watch them and get a better idea of what I'm explaining for you to do. Okay, it says here, to do this, lie again on the exercise ball. It's basically lie on the ball with your lower back fully supported, so the ball is well placed on you. You place your hands behind your head, and you lift your torso off of the ball. It's almost like doing crunches, but you're like on the ball, almost like doing modified sit-ups, if you will. This contracts your abdomen and to pull the bottom of the rib cage towards the hip. Again, you'll do 1 to 3 sets with 12 to 16 repetitions. Next listed, number four, is the vertical leg crunch. And this performing this exercise is similar to doing a leg crunch, except that the legs are actually straight up in the air forcing your abs to work and adding intensity to the routine as a whole. So to do this, lie on the floor with your legs, with the legs straight up and your knees crossed at the knees, and place your hands behind the head for support. Contract your dual, like you're basically doing crunches, if you know what crunches are. Basically, you contract your abs by lifting your shoulders off the floor and keeping your legs in a fixed position to crunch. So you do 1 to 3 sets with 12 to 16 repetitions. And I think I will go, since I can't find some videos on YouTube where we're illustrating these, and you can go to my blog, Simple Natural Health Secrets blog, it's at Phase3Ministries, PHASE, the number 3Ministries.com /WordPress, and you'll be able to go there and I can find a video that can illustrate how each of these can be done. This vertical leg crunch that we've been talking about, you put your legs straight in the air, you lie on your back, and cross them at the knees and try and lift yourself up, can be done 1 to 3 sets with 12 to 16 repetitions. Finally, number 5 that they listed in this study that they found to be very effective for the abs, for burning belly fat, is the long arm crunch. And this is a variant of the traditional floor crunch where the arms are held straight behind you, adding a lever to the move and making for a challenging exercise. It says to do this, lie on the floor or a mat, then extend arms straight behind, keeping them clasped and next to the ears. Slowly contract abs and lift shoulders off of the floor carefully to keep the arms straight. And you do 1 to 3 sets with 12 to 16 repetitions. And as I said earlier, the article also points out how the best strategy to weight loss is to observe, of course, a healthy diet coupled with exercise of at least an hour a day. And so here you have, again, I think probably the exercise, of course, as effective as the exercise is, I think probably equally effective or equally important, if not more so important, it's very important to make sure that you follow a natural, healthy regimen of eating and nutrition as a whole. Diet and exercise, you've heard it, you'll continue to hear it because it works. And so if you're looking to have good health, if you're looking to burn that belly fat, you want to burn that belly fat, you're not going to burn it if you're not exercising. You're not going to burn it if you're not eating correctly, eating healthily, eating the food that can help alkalize the body and help burn weight and help your metabolism. Now we're going to pivot into the healing food section. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. If you have a question, you can call in. We're also on chat. Usually see a couple of people on there. I don't see anyone on there today. But if you have a question or a comment, you can call in if you're listening live, if you listen to this broadcast live. Of course, if you're listening to a replay, you can't call in. But if you're listening to it live, you can call in at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Now, we're going to talk about here, we got about 11 minutes left. We're going to talk about 5 of the best raw foods that you need to eat to add to your diet. These are some of the foods that if you want to burn that belly fat that you should be eating combined with those exercises. Coconut. Now, coconut is one of the greatest superfoods that you can eat. Raw coconut is a nutrient powerhouse. I mean, it is virtually unmatched in all of nature. You have the water from a young raw coconut, for instance, is loaded with all kinds of vitamins and minerals and electrolytes, and it is perfectly balanced to keep you hydrated as well as nourished. So also, you notice when you break open a coconut, the meat or the flesh, which is found around the inside of the coconut shell, is very, very beneficial, as well as the juice inside. The white flesh or meat inside actually contains high levels of lauric acid, which is a type of saturated fat that resists harmful viruses and bacteria and fungi, and it also helps your brain, so it promotes brain health. Imagine that. And regularly eating the flesh of a raw coconut and drinking the juice can actually help you shed pounds, those excess pounds you may want to get off. It also can help you avoid developing heart disease, and it can also keep your free-flowing cholesterol levels in check. And raw coconut can also help boost your energy levels, and it can also help promote your healthy thyroid function as well as hormone levels. It's good for your, it's good to help rejuvenate your skin as well, and it can also heal a damaged gut or gastrointestinal tract. So if you've been taking those aspirin and you have gastrointestinal bleeding or it's been damaged, you cut them out. Start taking maybe some magnesium, start eating, you know, two or three coconuts a week, fresh raw coconuts a week, and they can actually help heal a damaged gastrointestinal tract. And so eating raw coconut is a great, great way to get into healing, to acquire healing. Also, chia seeds are another great raw food, superfood that you can eat to help you. Because they're very high in omega-3 fatty acids, as well as other disease-fighting antioxidants. They actually are virtually unsurpassed in the plant world. And actually, they were consumed by the Aztecs as well as the Mayan warriors, and they took them because in them they saw that they could obtain strength and sustenance from eating these chia seeds. Again, they should be eaten raw for the best benefit. And they're rich in fiber. They have the essential fatty acids. As I pointed out, they have they're high in omega-3 fatty acids. They have calcium, antioxidants, and protein. They're also beneficial, helpful in maintaining weight, and also they're helpful for healthy digestion. They form a soothing gel layer when soaked in water or liquid. So you can imagine what they can help do inside of your gastrointestinal tract, especially if you have a history of bad eating and you're trying to change over and eat and live more healthily. They can actually help heal as can the coconut. Next, we'll talk about sprouted nuts and seeds. The general category of raw nutrition dealing with raw nuts and seeds, sprouts, seeds, etc., are full of vitamins, minerals, nutrients, enzymes, as well as proteins that have not been damaged or denatured by heating or cooking them. So raw sprouted almonds, for instance, are one of the healthiest foods that you can consume because they contain healthy fats. They're a complete protein. They have amino acids. They have this essential trace minerals. And generally, sprouted nuts and seeds also help boost the immune system. Not only boost the immune system, but they also help regulate cholesterol levels. And they tend to also help benefit your brain and your heart, giving sustained nutritional value. So the first three we looked at is coconut, chia seeds, sprouted nuts and seeds. Next, we'll move on to, instead of five, we're going to do four, leafy greens. Now, especially raw leafy greens. So it is virtually impossible to eat too many leafy green vegetables. And so by eating copious amounts of leafy green vegetables like spinach, kale, Swiss, collard greens, romaine lettuce, these leafy greens are rich in chlorophyll. When chlorophyll is so close to the chemical composition of blood, it's only like one element that separates the two. That's how close chlorophyll is to blood. So when you eat largely and eat copiously of, without being gluttonous, of course, eat copiously of leafy green vegetables like spinach, kale, collard greens, Swiss chard, et cetera, you're going to get energy because they boost energy levels. They help detoxify the liver as well as your other organs. They help clean the digestive tract out. And eating leafy greens will also help keep you regular, going to the restroom, help reduce constipation, etc. Those are the four overall food categories that we've looked at today for our healing food segment. And if you eat these foods, again, if you're looking at, we were talking about cutting back on your belly fat. If you eat those foods in every day, as well as copious amounts of fruits, raw fruits, copious amounts of vegetables, at every meal, eating either fruit or vegetable and exercising, if you have belly fat, not only in fat in other places, you're going to begin to see benefits. Some people, it may take a little longer than others. Some people have a little more stubborn fat, or because their bodies are so out of whack for so long, it takes a while to readjust. But if you just stick with it, if you're trying to burn that belly fat off or whatnot, and you as you bring your life, change your lifestyle and bring it more in harmony with the principles of health, you will begin to see benefits. Now, I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. We're going to pivot into our final section, these last 4 minutes or so, and we're going to continue our discussion about vitamin E. Now, vitamin E is very, very important, and we may need to spend some more time on this next week because we're almost out of time, but let me tell you some of the functions. The principal use of vitamin E is as an antioxidant. I mentioned this last time, and it helps protect against heart disease, against cancer, and against strokes. It actually oxygenates your cells and your tissues, and it reduces the need for oxygen. It actually prevents unsaturated fatty acids and oil-soluble vitamins from being destroyed in your body. Vitamin E also dilates blood vessels, and it does hereby it improves your circulation. That helps cut back on blood clots and, you know, other things, other problems that could develop. Vitamin E also helps prevent scar tissue formation if you ever burned. It also protects and helps. It protects and helps capillaries. It helps your lungs. It helps your reproductive organs. And it's actually used in treating heart disease. It can be used in treating varicose veins, burns, angina pectoris, emphysema, hypoglycemia, leg ulcers, as well as other reproductive problems, both in infertility in both men and women. And it lessens the likelihood of miscarriages. Now, vitamin E also, it enters the fatty portion. And I talked about this before, so this is just a brief recap. Vitamin E enters the fatty portion of your cell membrane, and where once it gets in there, it actually stabilizes and protects them from compounds, these toxic compounds such as lead and mercury and some of these other heavy metals and some of the other toxic compounds that we have to encounter here on Earth as human beings. And because of its strong antioxidant effects and power, a high E diet or taking of worthwhile vitamin E supplements, we're going to talk about how to determine between natural and synthetic forms, it actually exerts a very, very, very powerful and effective influence upon many of the common health conditions that we or our family members so often suffer from. Not only that, it can actually protect the thymus gland and circulating white blood cells from damage. And the thymus gland is very important in association with white blood cells. Vitamin E is also very important in your immune function, especially during the times when you're stressed out. So it's very, very important. And as I said earlier, it's an antioxidant. So it's very important in the immune system, especially during stress and chronic viral illnesses such as AIDS and things like chronic viral hepatitis. It can actually help reduce your LDL cholesterol. It can increase your HDL cholesterol. And when taken at high dosages, it actually offers significant protection against cancer. In fact, I mentioned this before, in one study, their patients with low vitamin E levels had a 50% greater risk of cancer. And vitamin E actually helps relieve many post-menstrual symptoms, including things like breast disease. It is effective also in relieving hot flashes and menopause of vaginal complaints. And the list of its benefits, I could go on and on and on. Now, because we're running out of time here, we're going to continue our discussion on vitamin E next week. I just want to leave you with the recommended daily allowance of vitamin E is 15 international units. The optimal daily amount is 400 international units, and the therapeutic daily allowance is 1,200 international units. Now, you've been listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to finish our discussion next week on vitamin E. We'll be back next week with all new topics, new discussions. We thank you for joining us. Tell your friends about it. They can get great benefits in knowing some of these secrets and strategies for their health. And what we're going to do here as we sign out, we're going to remind you that next week from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on Wellness, you can listen And again, remember to tell your family and friends and give the gift of health. Have a blessed week, and thank you for listening.